Today is the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist. It is also the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be an adventure event for the young boys of the chapel today at St. Pius V School beginning at 12:30 p.m. And please note, after the Mass this morning, I will be hearing confessions. And as Bishop Carroll explained, this is especially for the seniors and those who have a difficult time traveling. Tomorrow is the 27th anniversary of Bishop Kelly's Episcopal consecration. And I mention this, my dear people, to you, so you please remember him tomorrow and your prayers. Bishop Carroll will be conducting a morality seminar at St. Pius V School this Thursday, October 22nd at 7:30 p.m. High school graduates and parents are encouraged to attend. This conference is going to touch on the many dangers that our young adults in particular face in today's society, and what is the church's stand on such things. Such things especially touching alcohol and even drugs. St. Pius V School will host a basketball game this Friday with the priests, brothers, and seminarians from Immaculate Heart Seminary, beginning at 3:30 in the afternoon, and all are welcome to attend. And please note that because of that game, the usual Friday evening confessions will not be heard here at the chapel, but will be heard at St. Pius V School. Now, we are also praying a novena for our nation, beginning next Sunday, the Feast of Christ the King, a 9-day novena, and they were asking all our people and all our chapels around the whole country to please join us. That novena card is available in the vestibules, and the intention, of course, is generally speaking the spiritual and temporal good of our country, and even for a favorable outcome in the upcoming elections, all the elections. And finally, my dear friends, the Christmas fair, as most of you perhaps know, has been canceled this year due to all the things going on. So please do not bring any items to the chapel here or the school. But I mention this as well, not just to tell you not to bring any items to the chapel or school, but in the past I have often told you from the pulpit that the Christmas craft fair is the number one fundraiser for St. Pius V School. And nonetheless, though we cannot have it this year, the school is still in need of funds. So we are going to be holding a raffle, nonetheless, the usual raffle tickets that will be sold and other items that will be available for sale that the sisters are preparing. For more information, please see the chapel bulletin. There is a day of recollection planned for the men of St. Pius V Chapel for Saturday, November the 7th. More information will be available on that soon. Let us come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and may find grace for a timely help. Words taken from the Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which feast we celebrate each year on August the 22nd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today, as I mentioned, is the Feast of the Evangelist St. Luke and the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be a proper last gospel at the Mass this morning, taken from the 20th Sunday. But since we are still in the month of October, the month of Mary's Rosary, and since it offends our Blessed Lady, as St. Louis de Montfort once said, when priests do not frequently preach about her Holy Rosary, I wish today to speak of Mary and her Holy Rosary, for I do not wish to displease the Lady of Fatima. But I would like to begin by telling you a true story that took place during the Spanish Civil War. It was in the year 1931 that the new Spanish Republic had been declared with the abdication of King Alfonso XIII. But this republic was not a republic according to our understanding of the word republic. The new Spanish Republic was actually a socialist, communist, anti-God government that embraced the principles of Marxism and despised Catholicism. And thus it was not long after these so-called Republicans, as they liked to call themselves, seized power, that they worked very hard to destroy the Catholic Church and the Catholic way of life in Spain. Now, as I say, they purposely called themselves Republicans to deceive the Spanish people. And not only deceive the Spanish people, but the various nations of Western Europe, as well as our own United States of America. For when the Spanish Civil War broke out, many people today don't know that a number of American citizens went over to Spain to fight for the communists against General Franco and the Catholic Church. They called themselves the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And they fought against the Catholic Church. They fought for communism. A certain historian actually writes that the leaders of the newly founded Spanish Republic were actually schooled. That is, trained in Moscow by Bolshevik revolutionaries such as Leon Trotsky. But you see, they could not return to Spain and call themselves Bolsheviks, since the people of Western Europe, and even the United States generally speaking, abhorred the Bolshevik revolution in 1917 in Russia, despite the attempts of the global media then to downplay it. So when the Spanish revolutionaries returned to Spain and started sowing their seeds of trouble and chaos and disorder, forcing the king to abdicate, they adopted the word republic to cover up their Marxist agenda. Now, when you think about that, my dear friends, is there a similar scenario happening right now in our own United States? Doesn't it seem that under the guise of the word Democrat, certain politicians on various levels of government, governors of states, mayors of cities, congressmen and women, even those who are running for the highest offices in the land, certain members of the major media in this country, television networks and newspapers, and the host of Hollywood people and entertainers, that when all is said and done, under the word Democrat, they are promoting, they are funding, they are approving, they are doing a socialist, Marxist agenda in this country. The order of the day that they, at the very least, implicitly approve is the organized chaos that we've witnessed the last 6 months or so, 4 months. Looting and destruction, which they still, some of those politicians to this day still call it a peaceful protest. Furthermore, anywhere in history where socialism was firmly established, you do your homework, you will find this. Anywhere where socialism was established, religion became restricted, and especially the Catholic religion, because that's public enemy number one to every socialist regime. And as religion is restricted, vice among the people is promoted and approved. Unlimited abortion. Isn't that what this Democratic Party today is holding out? Unlimited abortion. We're going to continue murdering unborn children. And some Democratic governors and political leaders are talking now about approving infanticide. That's where they're going. When the communists in Spain came to power in 1931, everything changed. Divorce, which at that time was the great immorality, was approved. Education. This is another mark of a socialist state. Education is taken away from the parents who are the first educators of the child. It was taken away from the Catholic Church. It was turned over to the government. Catholic schools had numerous restrictions placed on them. That is, the schools that were allowed to remain open for a time. And how in Spain, after 1931, the propaganda was spread, especially among young people. They always target the young. We older people are used up, as it were. But the younger people are targeted. They are fed lies, as they were fed lies in Spain, that they were now free to do whatever they wanted under the new laws of the Republic. But as the state of affairs worsened for the church and the Spanish people, a group of Catholic military leaders and others who loved their church and who loved their country came together and organized against the communists. The Spanish Civil War, as history now calls it today, officially began on July 18, 1936. And under the leadership of General Francisco Franco, war was declared against the communist government. And no sooner had the Civil War begun when it is most interesting to note the reaction of the communists, the soldiers, and the police, and organized mobs of people targeted Catholic churches, Catholic seminaries, Catholic monasteries, and Catholic convents and schools. They broke into monasteries in the middle of the night. They removed all the priests and the religious and led them off to prison and then death. They put to death thousands of priests, religious sisters and brothers, and many Catholic men and women. One such Catholic layman that I would like to tell you about this morning, who was executed by the communists, his name was Seferino Jimenez Maya. And he was a devout Catholic. He was also a very successful, hard-working, wealthy businessman. He lived in the town of Barbastro. He was very generous. He was very good to the church and to his fellow man. After his wife died in 1920, Ceferino never remarried, but he devoted himself to his family and to the service of the church. He attended daily Mass, and he was always present at the Thursday evening holy hour. And it is interesting to note, he never learned to really read or write. He could only read or write what he needed to know for his business. Nevertheless, the parish priest approached him one day and asked him if he would be willing to instruct the children in their catechism on Sundays. Because he did not know how to read or write, he couldn't read the catechism. So the priest taught it to him, and what he did was memorize it word for word. Every question, every answer. But July 18, 1936 came. And the fury and the hatred of the communists descended upon the town of Barbastro as it had throughout Spain. No one is certain of the actual day on which Ceferino was arrested, but it is believed it was not too long after July 18th. Here is what happened. Ceferino was on a street in Barbastro when he suddenly saw the parish priest being arrested and led away by police and soldiers. He was about 70 years of age. And as he saw this, he quickly approached and he began to speak on behalf of the priest. And he began to question the soldiers on the arrest of an innocent man. But the communist captain, enraged at him, arrested him too, and charged him with the crime of defending a priest. Ceferino was led away with the priest and found himself imprisoned with almost 350 others who had been rounded up that day. Among the 350 were a number of priests and religious brothers from the Capuchin monastery in Barbastro. All of them had been arrested. Now, one author records that when Ceferino was asked by the soldiers if he had any weapons, he answered that he had one. And as he answered, he pulled from his pocket a pair of old, used rosary beads. And he held them out for the police to see. What I found amazing was that they did not confiscate his rosary. It's as if our Blessed Mother, as it were, would not allow them to take away his rosary. Ceferino and his fellow captives spent about a month in prison. On August 9th, after being condemned to death, as I said, for the crime of defending a priest, he was put into the back of a truck with a number of others who shared his fate. The truck brought them to the local cemetery, and there Ceferino and the others were lined up in front of an enormous pit. The firing squad took its position. The command was given to shoot. And Ceferino, holding his rosary, his weapon in his hands, cried out loudly with the others, "Viva Cristo Rey." That is, long live Christ the King. After the execution, the bodies were simply tossed or kicked into the pit. When the Civil War ended with Franco's glorious victory over the communists in 1939, the family of Ceferino Maia tried to find his remains to give him a proper Catholic burial. But his body, like the remains of many others, were never recovered. Ceferino Jimenez Maia is among the thousands who were martyred for their faith less than 100 years ago in Spain. When he was questioned, my dear people, as to whether or not he was carrying a weapon, Ceferino replied that he was. And then he pulled out of his pocket a rosary and he showed it to the communist police and soldiers. But you have to understand, when he said this about the rosary, he was not trying to be funny. He was not trying to be sarcastic. He was not fooling around. He really meant what he said. Because Ceferino understood that the rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary is indeed a weapon. It was the weapon that he carried with him wherever he went. My dear friends, the rosary is a Catholic's weapon of choice. It is the weapon that we too should carry with us wherever we go. And like Ceferino, not only carry it wherever we go, but pray it. Pray it daily. Pray it attentively and devoutly. What good is a weapon during war if the one who has it doesn't use it? What good is the weapon of the rosary if we who are soldiers of Christ do not use it? You know, when the Most Blessed Virgin Mary came down from heaven and gave the rosary to Saint Dominic, do you know the reason why she gave him the rosary? She actually gave him the reason. She gave it to him precisely to be a weapon. By the year 1214, the time of Saint Dominic, the whole south of France was overrun by a heresy called the Albigensian heresy. And I'm not going to go into the details of that, but it and its heretical and erroneous teachings were accompanied by acts of violence and terror. Heretical, lawless, and vicious people were attacking Catholic churches and Catholic people, harming them, killing them. They were bent on destroying the Catholic way of life in the south of France and then spread their heresy by violence throughout France and Europe. All the efforts of Saint Dominic to counter the heresy and the heretics were failing. One day, he was in a forest outside of Toulouse. He was hiding there, not because he was trying to save his life. He was hiding there because he was praying unceasingly and doing penance. And at the end of 3 days, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in all her splendor and glory, came down from heaven with 3 angels who appeared to him. "My dear Dominic," she addressed him. "Do you know," she said, "which weapon?" That's the word she used. "Which weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform the world?" Dominic answered in so many words, he did not know. And then the Mother of God said to him, I want you to know that in this kind of warfare, the battering ram has always been the angelic psalter. That is, my dear friends, the Holy Rosary. And how true this is. The Rosary is just this. It is a battering ram. It is a spiritual battering ram. Saint Dominic preached the Rosary incessantly, and as devotion to it quickly spread, so the end of the Albigensian heresy came just as swiftly. Saint Dominic overcame the wiles of the heretical preachers, even as the Catholic knight Simon de Montfort and his army of about 2,000 Catholic soldiers defeated an Albigensian army of 100,000 men, breaking once and for all the Albigensian power. It never rose again. And all of this on account of Mary's Rosary. You see, my dear friends, the Rosary is not just a beautiful prayer that is made up of paters and aves and meditations on the lives of Jesus and Mary, but it is truly a weapon. It was given to Saint Dominic and through him to all faithful Catholics to be used to the very end of time. And thus did Ceferino Maia hold it out as the weapon that he carried and that he used. The Rosary today is our weapon of choice. In this battle, and this is a battle, this is a war going on right now for our nation. There's no question about it. This is not some election where some politician's going to be elected or someone's going to be elected to an office or not. This is the actual war. And the Rosary is our first weapon of choice. It is also even more in the battle for the salvation of our souls. It is a weapon that all of us here can and should wield in our daily spiritual battles against temptations and the assaults of the devil, and the weapon that we must use to bring about the loss for those who are trying to destroy our nation. I should say, the defeat of those who are trying to destroy this country. When all is said and done, the Rosary is the weapon against all evils, spiritual and temporal. And isn't it amazing, when Our Lady came to Fatima in 1917, almost 700 years after she first gave Dominic that Rosary, what did she ask for? What did she say we had to do to defeat our enemies? Yes, she said, first of all, stop offending God. But secondly, she said, pray the Rosary every day. Not just pray the Rosary. Pray it, she said, every day. The Rosary is the weapon, and it is also the best means by which we can approach with confidence Mary Immaculate. Mary is the throne of grace. As we pray during the Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, she is the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and may find grace for a timely help. And today, my dear people, we need her help, for she is the hope. She is the help that this nation needs right now. So let us then do our part and use the weapon that heaven has sent us and pray our rosary every day, even as we strive to live good, pure Catholic lives. Let us pray especially at this time for our nation, for our president, for our Congress, and our Supreme Court. Let us pray that God has mercy on our nation, that God preserve and guide our president, and that God's laws will be the laws of our Congress and Supreme Court. May it soon be, my dear friends, that through the intercession of Mary Immaculate and our daily rosaries, that our great nation, the United States of America, will truly be a Christian nation under the rule of Christ the King. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.